Good morning, everyone. Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. If you'd like to join us a little bit later or live and have a question or comment for our guest, we do that after the top of the hour. You're invited to call in live. The number, if you want to jot it down now, is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, welcome our guest today. It is the second Tuesday of the month. That means we always welcome some portion of city staff in studio, usually headed by Aaron Kubik. And Aaron, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. All right. First of all, kudos for arranging great weather for the Art Along the Rogue.
Oh, my gosh. Wasn't that absolutely wonderful? We had such a great event. It was trying to get, you know, it's hard to get a numbers count and that kind of thing, but everyone was saying that this was probably the most well-attended Art Along the Rogue.
Really? Really?
Yeah, and it was really neat. The person who originally started Art Along the Rogue actually came to the event this year, and it's been running for 20 years, so It's been going on for a long time.
20 years, golly.
Yeah, and he was so impressed with what it's become, and we had a huge amount. We had like 40 different vendors there that were able to sell local arts and crafts, and we received over $20,000 in sponsorship donations from some very generous donors within the community that really helped to make that happen. Now, the city does put in money also, but it's matched by the community and making this event just a great place. We had 3D artists. Some of the artwork was amazing. I think one of my favorites was Darth Vader. That was a pretty sweet one with a lightsaber. It just looked like it was glowing out of the sidewalk. It was so cool. We also had two permanent pieces of art put down on the street this year.
Those are on G.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that was another thing that was sort of cool that we've got. We had, believe it or not, 11 bands. That was one of the things I heard when I was down there, is people really enjoyed the music. Large variety of different types of music. So I even heard some Radiohead in there. So that was sort of cool too.
Heaven forbid.
So yeah, it was an absolute wonderful event. Couldn't have done without the vendors, and James from the city was just amazing again at taking the lead and spearheading this and making it all come together and happen. We did some great stuff, and I'd also want to give a shout out to another colleague, Julie Hall, who works actually in the office at City Management Office.
Yeah, she's in your office, isn't she?
Yeah, but man, she was down there almost the whole weekend helping out, and that's what it takes. It takes a lot of community members and volunteerism to make something like that happen.
Right. Now, are you going to take credit for the rain and washing the streets clean anyway to save city staff some?
No, when it comes to Mother Nature, I'm not going to take any credit, because you might.
We gave you your shot.
You might get a praise one day, but the next day, yeah. Okay. So, no. All right. Not going to do it.
All right. And today, let's move on with the Tuesday Talk Show today. One last question. We don't have any numbers on out-of-town attendance or motel or hotel receipts, do we?
That's a tough one. We wish we did. That's really hard to track. We still sort of consider this somewhat of a local event, where it doesn't utilize a lot of transient lodging tax dollars to support it. And we do know that it brings in other people. We had chalk artists from Southern California come up to do artwork. So we do get a lot of people from other areas.
People have asked to come up and do their artwork here, haven't they?
Yes. Yeah, this is actually a relatively well-known chalk art opportunity for people. Yeah.
All right. Well, another good weekend. Chalk that one up for the city of Grants Pass. After all, it's the climate.
Boy, we go right into that. And now we got to try and start planning the grand illumination with the Christmas tree lighting ceremony and that kind of thing. So we'll go from one event to another.
Yeah. All right. I'm assuming some of that is already underway.
Well, yeah. Lot of the planning occurs, of course, Art Along the Rogue. James and others will take a break for like two or three months, and then we have to start planning for it again. Mm-hmm. It just that's the way it is. The tree lighting ceremony isn't quite as large of an event, so it's a little easier to do. And the main part is making sure we get the right tree.
Got to be in the right same area.
Yep.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to hearing more about that. In the meantime, what's our topic today in the city of Grants Pass? You brought one of your cohorts along here.
I did, and it's someone that is a familiar face, well, a familiar face to you, but a familiar voice probably to your listeners. Jason Kennedy is here, and Public Works Director. And so he's got a couple things he'd like to highlight that's coming from Public Works this year.
Yeah, all right. Well, Jason, every time you show up, I know that there's going to be some detours out there I'm going to have to avoid. Is that the case?
Most likely. Okay. Yeah, there's a few construction coming on. We did open up a few. You probably noticed that Hillcrest was open. The ODOT finally finished up in that area for the while, so that was nice to get that all done.
That's not done yet, but opened up.
It is not, but it is opened up, correct. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Schroeder Lane is the big one, and we apologize to all the neighbors down there, but it's going to be a while yet. So it's a big storm drain construction project.
Oh, that's the one that has to go really deep, isn't it?
Very deep for
the big pipes.
Yeah, it's about a 48-inch pipe, and it's down, I think it's about 10 feet underground, which is pretty deep for us.
Yeah, well, no doubt, 10 deep, that's deep for anybody, I would expect, unless you're drilling for oil.
Unless you're drilling for oil.
Right. Okay. So how long will that project go on, or is there an end in sight?
We hope it will be done this winter. Mm-hmm. You know, the goal is we're trying to get done before the rainy season hits.
Too late.
Well, this isn't bad. No. But before it gets much rainier, yes. Mm-hmm. We got really lucky. We got started early. GPID hadn't shut off yet. And normally we try to catch the window between when Grants Pass Irrigation District shuts off and the rainy season begins. So Grants Pass Irrigation District, they have ditches all over that pumps a lot of water into the groundwater table. Mm-hmm. And then when they shut off, that groundwater table drops a little bit. And then when the rains start, it comes back up. So you want to catch that deep stuff kind of in that sweet spot between those two seasons.
So we're still in the sweet spot?
We are. Mm-hmm. And the contractors were able to dig the tunnel, the trenches didn't collapse immediately. They ended up collapsing. We kind of knew they would. The geotechs identified that the soils out there were not going to be conducive to a deep trench. So that means that it had to open up a lot.
It wasn't a surprise then.
It was not a surprise. The surprise was we got a lot farther before the trench collapsed mm-hmm. than we thought we would. So, and the trench collapse didn't really slow them down. And nobody, of course, was injured, of course.
All right. What are those neighbors going to see here in the immediate future and in the far future?
In the immediate future, it's still going to be construction for a little bit until we get all the final connections made. Once all of that's done, we're going to come back. It's going to be paved. It's going to look like we were never there. In fact, it's going to look better than before we were there. And then we'll be gone. They won't have stormwater coming up to the surface. Hopefully it all goes where it's supposed to go, and that's to the river.
Oh, all right. Send that on away. All right. Yep. What else do you have for us?
Oh, goodness. I thought you were starting with Aaron.
I did. You're on the hot seat.
That's
now.
True. Yeah. So we bid a project here. It's Meadowood Reservoir. It's been one of the projects that's on the books for quite a while now. Unfortunately, in today's economic climate, those bids did come in a little bit higher than what we were anticipating. We are now in talks with the contractor and the engineer to try and value engineer that project to see if we can get the cost into our budget. We're actually very hopeful. The contractor has been great to work with. They have a lot of very good ideas. So the contractor and the engineer are working together. Reservoir will serve all of the Southwest, back in the Meadowood, Linden Lane, Clover Lawn area. It is really like one of our number one water projects beyond, of course, the water filtration plant.
All right. Let me ask about your phrase, value engineer.
Yeah.
Does that mean cutting quarters or just trimming costs, or can we be a little more specific there?
It is a super fair question. So what it involves is trying to find more inexpensive ways of building the same product without overly sacrificing the quality. Does that make sense? Some of which you're going to have to give up a certain amount of quality. We design it to be this big, robust
design
thing.
First rate.
You know, you want to design something to last 100 years.
Yes.
But maybe there's some ways that we can do it. One of the key items that we're looking at, we had a 48-inch bore. And what that means is we have to bore a hole 350 feet, 48 inches in diameter to carry the water inlet and the storm drainage out. We can pump the storm water. which means pump it up to a level and then let it gravity, and reduce that 48-inch bore down to a 20-inch bore. That probably has about a $500,000 cost savings attached to it. But the trade-off is we have to pump the stormwater forever. You know, so that's kind of a give and take. So those are the things that we're looking at, which are value engineered.
All right. And final decision still being made there.
Yeah, we're a long ways off. We've got some more work to do with the contractor. But hopefully, like I said, we'll get it within our budget, get it in front of council for their consideration, and hopefully get that constructed next year.
All right. Well, that's one that we'll be looking for.
Yep.
And all of you stay right there, because we've got some other things for you to look for right now, and that means we can pay our bills. Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. From city staff here, City Manager Aaron Kubik and Public Works Director Jason Cannaday are in studio, and we've got Jason on the hot seat here. All right. Jason, we just discussed some of your projects coming up, and of course everybody is wondering about the biggest project that we always have going on here and will have for some time, and that's the water treatment plant. And we just explored the phrase value engineering. Is that going on with that system also?
Yeah, with that project, we actually held what's called a formal value engineering session, which involved the project engineers, city staff, our owner's agents, as well as external engineers. And that is engineers from another firm, not related, actually two other firms, not related to the project, who can actually look at the design with a fresh objective and look for ways to be innovative, look for ways that we can cut cost. That project, we managed, I think, to reduce close to $18 million from the project. Some of that is going to have to go back in because we cut it too far. And when we looked at the alternatives that we came up with, they actually didn't pencil out.
Oh, okay.
They're great when you're sitting in a room across a piece of paper. But when you actually do the math and go, okay, here's what we can do, when we worked the math later, it was like, ooh, that didn't pencil out.
So not $18 million then?
No. But a lot. We got it into the – I think the last number we reported to council, and this is still the firm number, is in the 120s, which is down quite a bit from where we had initially reported or the last reported to them. But it is still a very good project. I mean, it's a very good project. What we gave up was just a little bit of redundancy. So instead of having three pumps and we have two. Instead of having four pumps, we have three. Those types of things. But we will leave blanks so that we're able to easily add that redundancy at a later date when we can afford it.
All right. And folks, when he said the 120s, he's talking millions of dollars.
I am speaking about millions of dollars, yes.
Yeah. And sometimes it just takes my breath away, but that's what we're looking
at.
All right. But in the future for this project, we're still, I understand, in the running for a federal grant that would be fairly significant. Aaron or Jason, either one.
I can speak to that. Have been notified that we have moved to what's called the next round. Our application has been accepted, and talking to state Oregon emergency management officials, we now are just in what's called the RFI, Request for Information period. As long as we can check all of the boxes that FEMA deems necessary, we will be awarded that grant, which is $50 million.
All right. Now, are we going to get all of that $50 million, or are we just guaranteed to getting some now?
So according to the state OEM officials, as long as we can check all of those boxes, it's a $50 million award. They generally don't reduce them unless there is something really weird that comes out through the project. What they were very clear about is we can't ask for any more. So
only $50 million.
The cap is to $50 million, but they don't reduce them unless, like I said, there was something really, really, really drastic with the project, which there should not be. So we're very optimistic. We're not there yet, and that's I want to make that very clear. We still got a lot of hurdles to jump through. FEMA, as you can imagine, being a federal agency, they're going to have lots of papers with lots of check marks, and we got to hit all of those. And I think we can.
All right. So there's no problem checking all those boxes.
No, there is not.
All right. So we'll check all of the boxes.
Yep.
And if we get that $50 million, that'll get it down to around $70 million is what we're talking about.
So there's a lot of other funding pieces that are in play there. I was just talking with our finance director, J.C. Rowley, this morning, in fact, and I think we're close, you know, with the monies that we've received from the state of Oregon, the monies that have been promised from the state of Oregon, and then what we believe we can borrow, we should be pretty close.
All right. So all of that sounds very, very good, but I'm also looking into the future because I know part of that's going to come out of my pocket on my water bill.
Yep.
So do we have any suggestions or projections on what that's going to be yet, or if it's come down any?
So your utility bill has already been increased to cover the cost of this project.
Okay.
And we believe that we have increased it enough to cover the cost of the project.
Any chance you're going to give any back?
So probably not until debt is paid off.
Well, but a number of years ago, council sort of did give some back because we had a scheduled 5-year increase in the water rate.
This is true. Mm-hmm.
And when this project was first starting up, it was we're looking at a little over $50 million. We got a $3 million grant right off the bat, which was great news. And at the time, we're like, well, geez, then with this $3 million, we may not need to do the extra 2 years. We only did three of the 5-year rate increases. So have council already reduced the rate? In essence, they sort of did.
All right. Well, good. Thank you very much.
That was a nice answer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So the short answer is where the debt service numbers that we are running today fit the existing rate structure.
All right. Next question, inflation. Are we at a firm number yet?
No. No. The fall of 24 will be what's called the GMP, the guaranteed maximum price. Every estimate we do, we're getting closer to that firm number. We did get a bit of good news this week. The indices that we have tied to the membrane system. So as you recall, we did a contract for the design. Mm-hmm. We also signed a contract with the membrane system supplier because we had to choose that early on. So we signed an agreement with them for a little over $7 million. But we tied that to an inflation index because we knew that we weren't going to be receiving it for 2 years, maybe 3 years. And that's a lot of risk for all of the parties involved. That indices has dropped. So the price of the membrane system has actually decreased as a result of that.
Wow. When's the last time you heard something like that happening?
Almost never. Mm-hmm. Now, it hasn't dropped. We're, $20,000, $50,000, but it is lower than when it was when we started.
So. Yeah. What, penny saved, penny earned?
Penny saved. We'll take them anywhere we can.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Are we on schedule with this, or are we waiting for more money?
I don't think we're waiting on more money. We have to move forward with the design. We have to get to the GMP, because without knowing that final number, we actually can't dial in on the final pieces of financing. So we know that WIFIA, which is the Water Infrastructure Finance... IA, I'm going to lose the IA.
He just looked over to Aaron for
I
help.
I did, and I was like, it totally, I know we both are like, it's the Water Infrastructure Finance. Anyway, that's where you can borrow money for water and wastewater projects at a very, very competitive interest with exceptionally good terms that, you can't get from a bank, such as you can delay payments for 5 to 7 years after construction is complete. You can have a 35-year repayment window. These are really good terms. That with all of that, we should be in that window where we can afford everything, but we got to have that final number so that we know what that borrowing amount is.
And we'll see that final number probably this spring?
Fall. Summer of this year, we hope to negotiate that GMP and then have it ready for council consideration in the fall of 24.
All right.
With construction to start hopefully thereafter if council approves it.
All right. He's knocking on wood. That's what's rattling your microphones,
yeah,
everybody.
Sorry.
So all that being considered, when do we go back and put another shovel in the ground? We're 2 years away from that?
About a year.
About a year?
Yeah. If the GMP is approved, the contractor is ready to mobilize. I mean, they will be starting to dig, my guess is, that winter. So January of 25.
All right. Here
so
we go.
So a year.
All right. And from that time to completion, 2 years?
About two and a half years mm-hmm. is what they're estimating.
All right. So how's the plant holding up currently? We're going to have enough water between now and then?
Yeah, we're going to have enough. It's had a few rough spells this summer for sure, but we've got some maintenance scheduled over the winter that should help carry us through. And the team does a great job of keeping that old equipment working well.
All right. I may have asked this before, but I was mm-hmm. always curious because that is such an iconic structure on M Street.
Yeah,
what's going to happen once the new plant is online? Will that be saved? What will happen there?
So that is a great question. Part of the grant from FEMA is a mitigation portion. And what they would like us to do is restore that site back to original. We know that the state historical preservation folks will have something to say about that. What we're hoping to do is leave the bulk of the 30s and the 1950s structure as is, but remove all of the tankage from behind it so that you'll have a great-looking building that's still there.
So the visual effect as you drive by will still be iconic.
Absolutely. And then at that point, maybe somebody could repurpose it into something. If you've ever been inside of it, that would be difficult, to be quite honest, but it's not impossible.
What would you foresee going inside that? And are we beginning to explore possibilities for that? Have we looked down the road that far yet?
So there actually was a charrette done, I want to say, 10, 12 years ago. And they had a long list of items that it could be. I think that probably council will want to take that up at a later date to kind of see if there is something that, you know, you also have to gauge whether somebody in the community or external to the community is willing to come in and invest in that building that definitely has some structural issues. Those aren't going to go away. Mm-hmm. But it also has some great potential. What a great iconic building in a great location.
Wineries, restaurants, museum. Yep. Mr. Boersma, are you listening? Just in case. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio, and we invite you to give us a call at the after the news. That's coming up here in a moment or two. Number to call if you want to jot that down is 541-472-1270. That's 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, I'll remind you, our guest today, Aaron Kubik, the city manager, and Public Works Director Jason Kennedy, all here on KJO Radio for your edification. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question or comment for our guest this morning, you're welcome to give us a call here. We'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or make your comment absolutely on the radio. Number to call is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, welcome back live. Our guest today, City Manager Aaron Kubik and Public Works Director Jason Kennedy. And I'm going to put Jason back on the hot seat one more time. Hang in there. All right. Yeah. It is fall. It is beautiful outside. And golly, don't you love the leaves?
I do. Yeah, I love them. They look great.
On the
However, when they fall, we do want to remind people that it is fall leaf season. And beginning next week, your haulers will be picking up the green waste cans twice as frequently. Mm-hmm. So that means weekly. And we're reminding people also that our sweeping schedule will go off schedule. So we will not have a published schedule through the end of December, because the street sweepers will be, of course, all over town chasing leaves that are falling in the street. Along with that, we really, really want to remind people, do not blow your leaves out into the street to compound the issue. We know that there's going to be leaves falling in the street. We'd love it if you'd pick the ones up that are kind of adjacent to your property, but the sweepers will get those. But do not add to the load. It is against the municipal code to
actually... I was going to say, it's technically illegal to
correct.
Do that.
Correct. And to be quite honest, the council just updated the municipal code in response to our MS4 Phase 2 permit that have strengthened the rules around putting debris into the street that's going to end up into the stormwater system. And really, leaves are a big problem for the stormwater system. They look great and they float down there, but the leaves will like mat within the pipes and in within the catch basins themselves, and they'll plug up the stormwater system quicker than anything.
All right. Once again, in your words, you threw out something there that I've been curious about when I saw on the council agenda, that MS permit, that MS4 permit. Can you explain what that is?
I'm going to do my best. So about 5 years ago, the city was issued an MS4 permit. It is a municipal separate storm sewer system, MS4.
Okay.
So there's your four S's. And what that is a permit that regulates the quantity and the quality of stormwater that eventually makes it to the Rogue River. The larger cities like Medford, Portland, Eugene, they've had one for years and years and years. The city was finally issued one because of our metropolitan status. Mm-hmm. That came about as the population grew. That got us into the MPO, that does all of our transportation planning. Also out of that came our MS4 permit. So we are just completing our first 5-year permit cycle. Part of that was adopting a few rules that are a little bit more stringent than they have been in the past on what you can or cannot put into the street. A lot of it has to do with how development will move forward. It has to be a little bit more green. You can't just put a bigger pipe to the river and get the stormwater out of town as fast as we can. Now what we want to do is provide for more infiltration, get a little bit better water quality before we get it to the river.
All right. If you exceed what you're permitted, what happens?
DEQ can come back and fine us, very similar as they do with what our NPDES permit at our wastewater plant.
Mm-hmm. All right. But we're usually well within confines,
and
aren't we?
It's not like they're out sampling. Really what it boils down to, are we following proper preventive control? So what does that mean? That means if you're doing a construction project that you put up good sediment and erosion control measures, and that as you post-construction, you have good sediment and erosion control measures in place to ensure that there is no erosion. That's really what it is. It's more preventative. We do have to monitor a little bit on the outfall. We're also looking for water that's in the stormwater system that shouldn't be there. Illicit discharge is called.
All right. All right, Jason, from what I hear, we're not in too bad a shape, are we, in terms of water going back into the river or water coming out of the river? We're really in bad shape considering.
We are not. The city actually had a very robust stormwater program well ahead of the MS4 permit, which actually made complying with the MS4 permit much easier. So when we finally got into the MS4 permit cycle, we realized that we didn't have very far to move. Now, there's some big changes coming, you know, and the council did just adopt the final changes in the development code last Wednesday. So that'll now affect new construction moving forward. But like I said, because we already had such a robust program, it was a very small jaunt. And we live on the Rogue River, which is still pretty pristine. You've got a few communities ahead of us, only one major one. So we've got a really great water source.
All right. So all this comes down to don't blow your leaves into the street.
That was where we started. Yes. And where we need to end. We definitely don't want you to blow your leaves into the street. The street sweeper will be very proactive this year. The new company, SOS Sanitation, bought the company from Advanced Maintenance. Mm-hmm. Dan Kirkman, who had done it for 100 years, he's still working with them. But the new trucks are more sophisticated. They'll actually be able to take pictures of leaves in the street. They're going to try and work with customers to educate this year. But if you
blow your leaves into the street, you might get caught.
You might get caught.
Okay.
Yes, that is kind of the rule. And we really want to educate people the first year, but then we're going to probably have to move to more enforcement-related techniques.
All right. I assume there's not going to be very much of that enforcement technique this year, but what are you authorized to do?
The municipal code, I think we're authorized to levy fines, mm-hmm. if we need to. That's right. About the extent of it.
That's about the extent of it. Okay. Nobody's going to jail for this, but it may cost you. Any idea what the size of those fines could be? Is there a maximum?
I don't, but I will find out before the end of the show.
He said, reaching for his phone. Yeah. Our guest today, City Manager Aaron Kubik and Public Works Director Jason Kennedy, and we'll continue in just a moment.
Fall is here.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. Number to call, 541-472-1270. If you have a question for one, Public Works Director Jason Kennedy, or two, the City Manager Aaron Kubik. Both are in studio with us today and willing to take your questions. Aaron, we've just kind of left you out since we started here, gave you accolades, so we'll put you back on the hot seat right now.
Sure.
What is your biggest challenge that you're facing right now in the City Manager seat? What are you dealing with on a daily basis?
Well, the biggest challenge, actually, bringing that up, there was, as a X team, which is the department directors and myself, we get together on a weekly basis and talk about things that are coming up and some of our bigger challenges. And
the X team?
Yeah, we call it the X team. Okay. Because it's the X team. They're all superheroes.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
This is just such a
great group.
It's
what I was going for. I just wanted
group
to
of
know.
People. Yeah.
Do you issue capes?
I no, we don't,
okay.
But I could. I want to get a cartoonist in to do a thing of us. A
little caricature?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah. But we were talking about how this is really an exciting time. We've got a lot of challenges, no doubt about it. But this is quite the exciting time right now to be in the field of being community builders, especially in Grants Pass, with a couple of key things that we're excited to see happen. One is, we already mentioned, the guaranteed maximum price of the water treatment plant. Mm-hmm. And once we know that and the funding that we've got coming in online, it's all the pieces are starting to come together. And so within the next year, there's going to be some great progress in that. And we're just excited about that. And another thing that we have been dealing with for a couple of years now is Measure 110 and its effects on local communities, especially here in Josephine County and Grants Pass. And we believe that there's going to be some, there's going to be some changes and modifications, not a repeal of 110, but some modifications of 110 and how it affects the communities, and maybe some actual increase in treatment for drug addiction, and maybe consequences of actions also associated with that. So we're hoping that that would definitely change, we believe, the landscape of Oregon, across Oregon.
Right, I know that that's a statewide situation that we're talking about, that everybody's concerned with. But what I heard you say was that an increase in treatment, but with that increase in treatment, how can you drag them kicking and screaming if they don't want it?
Well, there need to be consequences associated with that also.
Okay, so those are the consequences. We don't know what that could be.
No,
yet.
We don't, but yeah. we believe, and we're hopeful that those kind of modifications will change, and that will make a positive impact. And really go towards the heart of why 110 was originally put into place.
All right. Have we had input with the legislature on that yet?
Oh, we have, yes. The chief just last week went up to the state legislature and spoke in front of them. We also have all of council adopted a letter to be sent to the governor and the legislature with regards
Has that been sent yet? I know it was adopted.
Yes, okay. It has. It's been signed and sent. And it's not just Grants Pass. It's multiple agencies throughout the state of Oregon that have seen the negative impact of 110 and how it's affecting our community, and that changes do need to occur. So we're very excited about that. And that's going to be happening within this next year. And so another thing that we believe is going to come to fruition and ultimately be completed is our lawsuit and the Supreme Court hearing our case. We'll know by in the next few months, and so that's going to be an exciting piece too, to where we'll be able to know what the current landscape and what the future landscape will be for time, place, and manner regulations for people resting in public spaces.
Do we have any indication yet if the Supreme Court will hear it? I know it's not official yet.
There's been so many amicus briefs in support for the lawsuit that we're in right now. It is gained so much momentum that we are very hopeful that because of all of the groundswell of this grassroots support from large municipalities are in support of where we're going, that the Supreme Court will hear it. We're hoping.
The governor of California filed an amicus brief on that very subject with the Ninth Circuit Court.
Yes.
And got the same treatment we did. So.
Yeah. So we're excited. We really do believe that we're hopeful that that'll be the case, that they'll hear it. And then also the other thing that is a challenge that we believe within the next year we're going to see some solutions to is our public safety funding and local
services. My next question. All right.
So those are, in a nutshell, those are four very important issues that we're dealing with that affect us on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, and out in the future. But the exciting thing about all that is all four of those major issues that impact quality of life within the community, we believe will have some resolve and some more permanent direction within the next year, 2 years. So it's an exciting time to be part of Grants Pass right now.
All right. Can we be positive about that?
I'm positive about every one of them.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, no
doubt. I really do believe there's going to be positive action with every one of those items.
I've got to agree with you. I don't think the citizenry would let that blanket of security go away.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else you got for me?
Okay. So there's a number of other things that we're working on that council's focused on. Say, for instance, our upcoming workshop, which is scheduled for October 16th, we're going to be talking about our urban renewal projects and funding. So we have a number of cool projects that we're looking at, and we're going to get some direction from council on where we might want to go from a budget perspective on where we want to place those funds as they come in. We will also be looking at a review of our porta potty policy within Riverside Park. We have temporarily added some additional service in the park when it comes to porta potties for some of the individuals who choose to rest in that park. And it is temporary in nature. It's not a permanent level of service. And so council is taking a look at and discussing on whether or not they want to continue that service in the park.
Are they all located to one side of the bridge or the other, or are they throughout the park?
Well, at one time, last year or so, we did have three that were sort of throughout the whole park, but now they are primarily focused on the west
side of the bridge.
Side of the bridge, yes. Mm-hmm. And then also, I have the privilege of being able to report all the wonderful things that we have worked on, both council, the community, and staff during the third quarter work plan update. So that'll be an opportunity for us to celebrate some of our successes that we've had so far.
All right. Well, let's celebrate one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we just finished with Art Along a Rogue.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we've got a number of things. I don't want to give away my report, so I won't be going into details. You'll have to stay tuned to the council meeting for that. But no, we do have some great things that we've been accomplishing, and just a great group of colleagues that I work with and council members that really care about the community. And it's really refreshing to have community members reach out to us. And I've recently had a couple of conversations with community members on different subjects, and they're bringing an issue to the city, but also they're bringing a solution. Well, what about this? Mm-hmm. And so it provides us an opportunity. You know, that's a great idea, and here's our thoughts on this. Or, hey, we've tried this, or we've looked into this. Or, hey, that's a good idea. I'm going to add that to the pile of things that we need to consider. Those kind of interactions with the public are just absolutely wonderful. I love it.
What's the best way to get Aaron Kubik's ear?
Well, you can always call 450-6000 and ask for me, and you can come
I do almost weekly, incidentally.
Yeah, you could come on by and drop by. I've got an open door policy. If I'm available in there, I will definitely take walk-ins and talk to people whenever I can. And then also my email, which is on the City of Grants Pass website.
All right. Email is more and more the advised way to contact city staff. In particular, the council. Is it just one email address and it goes to everybody, or do I need to be specific?
That's a great question. We have two opportunities. If you wanted to just reach out to your ward council member, so each ward, there's four wards within the city. Each ward has two designated council members, and then there's the mayor. If you wanted to reach out to your ward counselor because they may be more familiar with something that's happening in the neighborhood, you can go and just email that ward council member. We also have a mayor council email where if you wanted to email all of council, it will go to all of the council members and the mayor at once.
All right. And you can find all of those on the city's website.
That is correct. Yep. Under the council, mayor council tab, mm-hmm. You'll be able to find all of their emails and contact information.
And if you go on that website and go on to the far right where it says, how do I watch city council meetings? You can click on there and follow even the city council meetings and the business sessions and the workshops too. So they can stay informed very easily right at their computer.
Yes, and it's great. You could pull up our charter. You can pull up our municipal code. You could pull up our development code. You could do searches if you're wanting to search a specific thing. Like, say, for instance, noise ordinance. You wanted to know what a noise nuisance is. You go in, you can search for that, and it'll pull it up and help you find that. It's just a great resource. And although I've got the municipal code right there in my office, I'll sometimes just go right to the website and find what I'm looking for immediately that way, too. So it's pretty easy to navigate.
Okay. Well, we've sent everybody there. Now I'm going to jump right back over here to Mr. Kennedy. All right. I know you've been on your phone.
I have.
And we're still talking about leaves. What enforcement would become available? Probably not going to be enforced soon, but people will be made aware of.
It will not. So the code actually on that portion did not change. Enforcement has always been a maximum civil penalty of $500,000 for a one-time offense. That would definitely be after working with code enforcement because we always try compliance ahead of civil penalties. If it is an ongoing issue, so say we came and you had a problem and you didn't fix it and you didn't fix it and you didn't fix it, it can actually double up to $1,000.
That's when it becomes willful and repeated.
Correct.
Now, I heard you say $500,000.
$500, not $1,000.
That's better.
Sorry.
Because I went,
I hope I didn't say
$1,000. Putting leaves in the street?
Well, we want to make sure that people know that it's not the right thing to do. But no, it is $500. I apologize if I said $500,000.
Yeah.
We're trying to fund.
We are trying to backfill our revenues.
I was going to say, that'll take care of some law enforcement and the water treatment plant. So at any rate, we appreciate that.
Maximum civil penalty of $500.
All right. So folks, once again, don't blow your leaves into the street. It's technically illegal. And they've got cameras this year, so they'll be watching. So. And some door hangers might be strung out if you're doing it.
Absolutely. And we'll be really putting on a media push here this at the end of this week, beginning of next week, to really try and inform people, give them options, to let them know, you know, if they don't have a big enough can, how they can get another can from their hauler, or how they can...
That'll be picked up weekly now.
And they will be picking up weekly. Yeah, we go to a twice-a-week schedule.
All right. Yep. All right, Jason, thank you very much. Now,
you're welcome.
Is there anything else in your department that's going to inconvenience me in the next month or so? And it looks back. Well, golly,
I'm looking at the list.
He's got 5 pages of printed information here, folks.
So you can thank Wade Elliott, the assistant director, for this. I asked him for an update on all the projects. These are all of the projects that are currently going on across the city. So it is. We are very busy. Very, very busy. At this point, we're closing everything out. We still have some work up on Lincoln in the Lincoln School area for Safe Routes to School. Amazing project where we have added a lot of sidewalk up there to help get the kids to and from school safely. Allen Creek Road is moving along, but that you won't have to worry about that for another year or so. But it's definitely finally making some pretty good progress.
All right. There are some things to be aware of. Yep. And you can each reach either of these gentlemen by going on the website. All right, Aaron, what should we take away from today's program here? What do people really need to grasp on and hang on to and say that was important today?
Well, I think the important piece is that, you know, we are, and when I say we, council, staff, is really trying to do what we can to build community in the most efficient and effective way possible. We've made some great strides in taking the largest project that the city has ever undertaken and getting it to a place where it's affordable for the public. And we've done a lot of work on the back end of obtaining resources from other areas to help that happen. And then all the other things that we're working on to try to keep you safe within your community and our infrastructure in good service. We're there to help serve you. We're community builders, and we greatly appreciate what we do, and we appreciate the community.
All right. Jason, final thought for you. What do people need to – besides leaves? I think we've beaten leaves to death.
We have. Yeah. Not much. We are definitely coming up on also drainage and pothole season. Don't hesitate to report. Give us a call at 541-450-6110, and we'll get the teams mobilized and evaluate the situations in the field.
All right. For Jason Kennedy, that's 450-6110. And for the city manager, it's 450-6000. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you very much. Our gentlemen here, we want to thank them very much, and thank all of the listeners out there for joining us here on KAJO AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band, and heard all around the world, even on your cell phone, at KAJO.com.